this is a nice topic. Has different ramifications to, in terms of things that started off as bread. We talked a little bit about the croutons and the pita chips and all these other things. But there are certain things, they start off as bread, and at what point do they lose their status of bread if you do certain things to them? So obviously, if you have a piece of bread and you just cut it up into smaller pieces of bread, that's not going to do anything, right? But what if you fry it, if you bake it again with some spices and things like that? So this is it's a complicated Gemara. Usually I would like to start with the Gemara, but this Gemara doesn't read quickly. So I figured we'll start in Rabbeinu Yonah, and this is the famous three rules of Rabbeinu Yonah, and these three rules are quoted straight into the Shulchan Aruch. So I figured we'll see them in the original three rules of Rabbeinu Yonah, and then we'll go through the Halacha L'Maaseh. So this is in the back of the Gemara Brachos, the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah, quote from the Rebbe, Rabbeinu Yonah. Alkein nir lemori harav, right? You guys know what that stands for? Right. Natre rachmano parke. So he says, shegimel dinin chalukin hein. There are three different rules when it comes to bread, things that start off as bread. Number one, hechashuhu mevusho, when you boil up the bread after the fact, meaning it was bread, right? You guys remember, the term bishel we use in modern times to mean cooking, but it means cooking through liquid intermediary. It means boiling. So if you boil up the pieces of bread, im yesh bo prusos kezayis, if the pieces of bread still have a kezayis, mevarach aleihem amotzi v'gimel brachos, right, then it retains its status as bread. Im ein prusos kezayis, and if you don't have a kezayis, afal gav de mechzei de ika alei torisa denamo, even though it looks like bread, right? It looks the same. Torisa denama is the fancy Aramaic way of saying tsurat hapat or tsuras hapas, right? It still looks like bread, but it's smaller than a kezayis. Einam avarech alav elabar mine mezonos kevan shu mevushol lo toar lechem lo. Since it is boiled, it's not considered to have the look of bread. Meaning, one of the things about bread that's unique is that bread is baked and not boiled. So, for example, we mentioned this in the past, pasta that's made exactly, you could have spaghetti, you could have the same dough, and from some of the dough you make spaghetti, and from some of the dough you make challah. So you would think that it should be the same bracha, but no. The number one difference is that pasta is boiled and challah is baked. And therefore, the challah is going to get a hamotzi, and the pasta is going to get a mezonos. And as we'll see, the pasta will never be a hamotzi. No matter what you do to it, it's never going to be a hamotzi. You could eat pasta from today till tomorrow. And when I was a kid, I never read this book as a kid, but I read it to my kids as an adult. The book Strega Nona. You ever read it? Whatever. Then it's about somebody who eats a lot of pasta. Anyway, so So that guy did not have to wash or bench. He just had to make a mezonos and an alamechia, but he probably didn't even have to make an alamechia since it was an achila gas. Okay, so that's rule number one. If you boil the bread, there's only one thing that matters. Kezayis or not a kezayis? Everything else doesn't matter.
There's two criteria. It has to be boiled and it has to be less than a kezayis.
Well, whatever you want to call it, meaning this is not talking about rules, this is talking about the case, right? So if you want to say within the rule, so the case is that if you boiled it, right? So then there's only one thing we look at, kezayis or not kezayis. That's case number one. Case number two, hecha she'eno mevusho, ela shehu mechubar al yidei dvash o marg. You didn't boil it. What you did was is you took the pieces of bread and you made a new type of dough with them. Meaning, you took sticky stuff, you added it to the pieces of bread, and below shum bishel, and you didn't boil it again. Like, I don't think, what I think he's talking about is much more of a challah kugel, whereas you're going to take the bread. Right, so what does he mean by without any bishul? So there's two possibilities. Either you take the bread, you add some eggs or some sugar or some honey. You put it into a pan or a deep dish or whatever, and then you stick it in the oven. That's not bishul. That's just further toasting it or baking it, right? So that's not what he's talking about in terms of bishul. You're not boiling it or frying it, but you are rebaking it. That doesn't do anything to the bread. Meaning, no one's going to say that if you take a piece of bread, stick it in the toaster, make toast, you did anything to it to warrant a mizonos instead of a hamotzi. So here also we're talking. This is much more of a challah kugel situation, where you took it in the in a new dish and you added ingredients. You added more ingredients to it. So what's the rule in this case? Im yesh beprusos kezayis mevarech alav hamotzi. So if there's a kezayis, you make hamotzi, same as before. Aim a prusos kezayis, the aim bo toar lechem. Now you have to have two criteria, which means it doesn't, it's not a kezayis, and it doesn't look like bread. Mevarech aleim borei minei mizonos. Then you make a mizonos. Avalim yesh bohem toar lechem afapishein kezayis mevarech aleim hamotzi. Then you would still make a hamotzi if it has even one of the two criteria. Oh, sorry, I messed up the numbering here. Should have been number three right there. V'heicha she'ein eino lo mevusha v'lo mechubar. Rule number three is, or case number three is, if it's neither cooked nor battered, ela shehu pirurim levadam, it's breadcrumbs, it's matzah meal. Af al pi she'ein bohem kezayis v'ein bohem tor lechem she'ein dakin v'yoser. They don't look like, if you open up a package of breadcrumbs, doesn't look anything like bread, right? And it's certainly not a kezayis. But nevertheless, mevarech alav hamotzi v'gimel brachos, you have to wash and bench on those breadcrumbs. Kevon shehu pas bifnei atzmo eino yotzei le'olam mitaras pas. If it's just bread, you can't do anything to it to make it not be bread. Okay. So those are your three rules. Let's just review. We'll review in the Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch likes these three rules very much. Quotes them straight up, halacha l'maaseh. Chavitza. What is chavitza? This is what straight out of the Lashon of the Gemara there. Dahainu piruri lechem shenidbakin yachal al demark. You take a batter, a liquid sticky intermediary, and you add these breadcrumbs and you make it into a dish. Im nizbashel. If you boiled it, if it's a kezayis, even though it doesn't look like bread, then you still have to wash and bench. And I, by the way, I keep saying washing because it's some kind of bad habit that I have. Washing and hamotzi obviously are related. They're correlated, but they're not, you know, they know the rule is correlation is not the same thing as causation. Right? You know that rule? It's a good rule for statistics and science experiments and things like that. Right, that's for example, my statistics professor quoted this in my first year in college. He said, here's a good example of how you lie with statistics. You prove correlation and you show that causation has nothing to do with it. If, you say, the rule is there's a strong correlation between the increased consumption of ice cream and the increased rate of murder. So as the ice cream consumption rate goes up, the murder rate goes up. As the ice cream consumption rate goes down, the murder rate goes down. This is a true fact.
Really?
Yes. So then one could then erroneously conclude that the consumption of ice cream causes murder. Right? Or that murderers love ice cream. Either way. But probably not the latter, because the same people are still there after they stop consuming ice cream. So what's the pshat? There are more murders in the summer than there are in the winter for a variety of reasons, right? Number one, people are outside more. It's harder to get killed when the murderer is at home and the murder victim is at home. So, number two, it's hot. People get angry. You know, I'm saying you can come up with your own reasons, none of which are related in any way to the consumption of ice cream. Okay, so I keep saying wash and bench. You only actually wash... You wash with a bracha if you're going to eat a kibetza of pas. Anybody know why that is?
Yeah, tumah.
Correct, because tumas ochlin is not chal on pachos mi kibetza. And therefore, the whole takana was only on a kibetza. Now, that's a shaila in halacha. Therefore, lemaisa, what the poskim recommend is that even if you're going to eat just a kezayis of pas, you should still wash, but you should not make a bracha. Less than a kezayis of pas, So there is a minority opinion says you should still wash without a bracha. Pashtus says you don't have to wash at all. So if you're just going to take a tiny piece of breadcrumbs, it's hamotzi, and if you ate a kezias, it's going to be birkas hamazon. But I keep saying wash and bench. What I really mean is hamotzi. Okay, just in case I keep.
Just briefly, like, you know, on Shabbos we get a Shabbos cake and a milk. Are we supposed to wash before dipping, or what are we passing
on? You're supposed to wash for davar shetibul b'mashke. So you certainly should. No one ever does. So what can I tell you?
Is that the halacha?
It's absolutely the halacha. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, all the Shulchan Aruch paskins, you're supposed to wash without a bracha.
Everybody thought I was crazy when I told them.
The Gaon says you're supposed to wash with a bracha. But nevertheless, let's put it this way. It's not just the American Jews who don't wash. Because if you look in all of the Haggadahs that were printed pre-American Jewry, they all ask, so how come we only wash for Davar Shetibul B'Mashka on the Seder night? So then Netziv has his famous teretz, and everybody has their teretz. But the Kasha proves to you that even in the Heilige, you know, Alter Haim, they didn't wash with a bracha. They didn't wash without a bracha. They didn't wash with a bracha. So that's a shaila. And Tosfos deals with this whole discussion in the Tosfos and Arvei Psachim. Talks about it in Tosfos and Brachos, and he talks about it also. And the Tosfos and Sukkah talks about it. I don't remember where all the Tosfos are, but they all discuss this topic, and there's different conclusions and different, you know. But Lamaisa, the standard Psak Halach is to wash. No one does it, so it's hard for me to say that everyone's doing the wrong thing. The Pashtus is everyone. The we paskin like the opinion that's not the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, which is that you don't have to wash because since we're not knowing general tumentara anymore, so it was never really an official takana in that classic sense. It was a lesser takana, not like the takana of the Tilos Yadayim for pas, which was an official takana. It was less than that. Well, there's different Rishonim saying within the Rishonim. So again, it's important to note the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishneh Berurah, everybody. You know, all the poskim that we normally go by do paskin that you're supposed to do it, but nevertheless, it's whatever. It's hard to say that it's not a problem. But okay, what can I tell you? The world is not knowing that way. Maybe because the preponderance of cutlery, you know, takes away a lot of the issue. If you're not going to be eating with your hands, then what?
Everyone uses their hands.
No, it means that so if you're going to eat with utensils, so then already maybe you don't have to wash anymore. But if you, that works for, you know, the world of, you know, gravies and salad dressings and things like that. But it doesn't necessarily help for cakes that you're going to dip and things like that. Okay, so going back to this, so we said that rule number one is if you're taking the pieces of bread and you're boiling them up together, then it only matters if it's a kezias. V'mein bohem kezias, but if it's not a kezias, afal pi shenireh sheyesh b'tor lechem, it looks like bread. Eino mevarech ela borei minei mezonos ubracha achas min shalosh. So that is what we saw in rule number one. V'meino mevushol, but you didn't boil it. Ela shu mechubra yedei dvash amarek, or if it's much more of what we call a bread kugel or a matzah kugel. So then you would make a hamotzi even if it doesn't look like bread. But if it looks like bread, if you could see the bread in it, then you would make a hamotzi at Birch Samazon. And if it's not a kezias and it doesn't look like bread, then it's just going to be mezonos and alamechia. V'im eino lo mevusha v'lo mechubar, elo meforor dak dak, and if it's just breadcrumbs, alfa pishim bo kezias lo tor alechem, v'orech alechem mozi b'rach. Fine.
Funny because at the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, he adds another condition. He says, not only does it have to be cooked, but it has to also be shenit v'akim yachad alay demarak. He adds something right there.
Yeah, I think that was just because that's how the Metzias of the Gemara's case is that way. In other words, the Rabbeinu Yonah learned his three rules from that case in the Gemara. But that was what he extrapolated from that. So the Shulchan Aruch is going back to the Gemara's actual case, and he's telling you the three rules that come from that particular case. And if you look back, and if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, he gives you the three rules again. Okay. Now, a couple of let's talk about a few conditions that the Mishnah Berurah throws in. So, condition number one: Sifkat Nun Gimel Im Yesh Bohem. So, this is going on the Kezias business, right? It's Lav Dafka Bekulam. They don't all have to be a Kezias. When we're talking about the pieces being Kezias, they don't all have to be a Kezias. Ela Afilu Im Yesh Kezias Bechada Prusa Gam Kim Avorach Aleh Bor Hamotzi Berf Samazim Amela Yachalech Lashar Haktanus Gam. So he's saying that as long as one of them is a kezias, that's enough, and then you can be motzi the other pieces. So that's the idea, that if you have a situation where they're all pachos mikezias, and there's one big one that's still a kezias, so you make a hamotzi on the one that's a kezias, and you eat the rest. Fine. That's the Mishnah Berurah's statement over there. So this is nogea to a case, let's say, where you make matzah brai. Right, matzah brai is matzah, so it's pas, right? And then you have you cut them up into different pieces. You add, let's say for argument's sake, this is the way you make it. You add different ingredients, and then you boil it up. Now I said boil. Most matzah brai is fried. Let's say you deep fried it. Let's say you're in a hotel matzah brai, so they got to make a lot of it at one time. So they're not messing around with like spraying the pan with Pam or anything like that. They just toss in the oil, and you know, it tastes better that way. So everybody will worry about their diets when they go home. So then when they fry it up, let's say they deep fry it, so we don't have any shilas of what the status of frying is. So now they fry it up. And some of the pieces, most of the pieces, are less than a kezias, but one or two pieces are still a kezias. Right? Machine matzahs, kezias. We're not talking about kezias d'oraisa for motzi matzah that you have to eat two kezias. And most of the time, you look at the chart, very important. People get a misunderstanding of how big a kezias of matzah is from looking at the charts. Right? The charts are, when it says for motzi matzah, the chart for motzi matzah, I don't know whose chart they are anyway, but I'm saying like, that's two kezesim. And the chart for afikomen is two kezesim, because they're going like the Mishnah Berurah, that you should try to eat two kezesim. Okay, so what the charts call a kezias for motzi matzah, they're not trying to lie to you, they just think that the world is so stupid that they can't possibly be told the halacha, they just need to be, show me a picture on a chart. So whether or not they're right, I have no idea. But so they want to just show you the chart. But really, half of that is a kezias min haTorah, according to the most machmir shita. So, much more, if you want to judge what a kezias is, a machmir kezias is for derabanans, so then you would go with what they write for korech. Because korech is a makel kezias, and there's only one of them. Right? So that for the chart, if you want to figure out how much is a chart of matzah, of kezias of matzah, so you figure out that you go with the korech kezias. But keep in mind that most of those charts are going for, they're trying to be machmir in case you're eating very thin shmura matzah. Different brands are thicker or thinner. So let's say, for example, the brand Haredim Shmura is very thin, right? Like Shatzer is like much thicker than that. And it's probably you only need half of the amount of Shatzer matzah that you need for Haredim matzah. And this year I got something called Borough Park Shmura because it was very cheap. And it was thicker than that. It was like hard to chew. That was so thick. So you probably only need half of that. So a kezias, and then we're talking about machine shmura, let's say, or machine regular. That's very thick compared to the hand shmuras. You only need about half of that. So we're not talking about some humongous kezias when it comes to hilchos brachos. Okay? So when it comes to hilchos brachos, a quarter or maybe even a fifth or of a matzah, of a machine matzah, is going to be a kezias. There's no, and there's not really questionable. That's pretty pashut. So when you're making matzah brai, depending on whether you it's all chopped up into little bits versus it's big pieces. So if you have one piece that's already a fifth of a matzah, you should probably wash on that piece, and then you'll be motzi all the other pieces.
It's always like a pie or something.
Again, so then you have nothing to talk about, because there the piece is a kezias. So even if you assume that it was deep fried, And that's like bishul. So that's going to be hamotzi because it's big enough to be a kezias. Again, it started as pas. So all the rules of pas are going to apply. It's never going to become pas of a kisten. This is very important. And this is what we mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. Again, it's not... No. Listen to what I'm saying. If the rules... Ravina Yonah's rules here apply, that if it's going to be mizonos, and the Mishnah Berurah is going to point this out, it's not pasav abekisnin. Okay? There's only two choices here. It's either going to still be bread, or it's going to be the type of mizonos that you would never wash and bench on. It goes down to the status of noodles or cereal. Right? Because if it's going to be pasav abekisnin, you can't turn pas into pasav abekisnin. That's the catchphrase you want to go with. You can't turn pas into pas of abekisnin. You can turn pas into pasta, right? You get a terrible pun, but it's good to remember. You can turn pas into noodles or cereal. You can't turn it into cookies and cake. So even, let's say you take a challah and you sprinkle on sugar and cinnamon and batter and then you bake it in the oven. And now it's super sweet because of all the additives. But since it used to be bread, it's always going to be bread, kolzman, that it's either a kezias or it still looks like bread. You understand?
Oh, so you're saying it's matzah bread, it starts off playing matzah.
It's matzah. Then, so the only thing you could do to eradicate it is boil it up. So let's pretend, again, that's deep-fried matzah. So now there's only one question left. Deep fried matzah can nullify the pas aspect unless it's still a kezias. So if it's still a kezias, you're going to make a hamotzi on it nonetheless.
Is it one piece of the kezias or where you're going
to eat? No, one piece. Per piece has got to be a kezias. So if there's a big piece that's still a kezias, like you said, your matzah brai is always a pancake. So that's going to be kezias no matter what, right? So then so you're always going to make a hamotzi on the biggest piece. If it's a kezias, and be motzi all the other ones. If they're all diced, and it was really deep fried, so then it's going to be mizonos on everything. And not only that, but if you could eat your body weight in matzah brai, you still would not bench. Because it becomes like noodles at that point.
What's the deal with breadcrumbs? They're just baked.
So we just said breadcrumbs, assuming they're breadcrumbs, are motzi no matter what you do. There's also nogeh halacha l'maisa for Pesach. Let's say somebody has no teeth. They can't eat matzah, but they can eat matzah meal. So absolutely, they can and should take a spoon or take a shot glass or whatever, measure out a kezias of matzah meal into a shot glass and throw it down. You know, throw it, knock it back, whatever they call it. Right? So you can knock it back and you can be yotze. It's going to be very, very dry. I would recommend having water at the ready. But even if you're not a gebrochs person, you can still put it in your mouth and then drink the water and swallow. There's no 18-minute waiting period in your mouth, right? It already touched your saliva, so it's not gonna. That's not an issue, but nonetheless, you can be yotze your chiyuv of matzah with that, no questions asked. So that's the matzah brei rule. So now let's. Where does the Mishnah Berurah talk about? Where did I put it on the sheet? He talks about frying. So I gave an example of whether or not it was deep fried. What about pan fried? Pan fried is going to be a little iffy because that's always a shaila what the status is. Maybe on the next page. See anything about that? I may have cut that out. One second. Oh, there it is. Sifkatan and Vav in the Mishnah Berurah. Kevan jenis bashal in a chosh of Torah lechem. So that's what we're saying. V'im lo bishlam b'kedere el atignam b'mashke b'machavas. You put them in a frying pan, and you use some liquid. Mashem magen avram de lo avi kibishlam mahani be Torah lechem kimo lekameh b'ofen hasheni. So if you just fry it. So let's talk about matzah brei that's not deep fried. It's just fried in a little bit of liquid. Or you sprayed the pan with Pam or something like that. So Magen Avram thinks that that's not bishul. Lefi das sharei achrona, but others disagree. Ein hechreich ledvarav, they don't like the Magen Avram. Ve'anachon, so therefore, it's a big machlokas aposkim whether frying in liquid, in a small amount of liquid, is like boiling, or it's just like baking it or roasting it in a frying pan. Ve'anachon shebetigun lo yochal b'sheyesh lo toar lechem, ki'im betocha su'uda. So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't know what to do. So he says the correct thing to do is, if you fried it, and it's less than a kezias, but it looks like bread, that's the problem, meaning you're in that middle shita. So if it would be baked, and it's either or, if it's a kezias and it doesn't look like bread, or it's less than a kezias, but it still looks like bread, so then you would make a hamotzi. But since it's fried, maybe that's like case number one, where you boiled it up, and now the only thing that matters is kezias. So we're stuck. We're not sure what to do with it. So this is a case of matzah brei that was really fried, not deep fried, just fried in a small amount of oil, and it's less than a kezias, but it does look like matzah, so we don't know what to do.
The whole thing about Bishel is that he writes that there's an assumption that whenever you are mevashel something, it will have a different appearance.
Correct. No. It doesn't mean that. It means that that nullifies the bread status. That's what he means by it. That's what he means by that. Even if it looks like bread, it nullifies the status of the bread.
It's not dafka water that you're boiling in, right?
Anything. No, any liquid intermediary. Like, could be oil, it could be...
Is that the one setting liquid through?
No. You don't have to boil it in blood. So So that being said, it's best when you're dealing with fried items to either make sure one of the pieces still has a kezias, or to wash on something else, because you're stuck in this situation. So that's if your matzah brei is diced, so it looks like bread, but it's fried. So if it's not deep fried, so then you have a suffix. So you should try to keep one of the pieces. Again, if it's deep fried, so then the only thing that matters is a kezias. If it's a little bit of liquid, so then it doesn't count as fried, and it's a little bit of liquid, it doesn't count as boiled. Sorry, so that's a machlokes between the Magen Avraham and Rov Achronim. So the Magen Avraham said, no, frying it and boiling is the same. And other Achronim said, what are you talking about? That's not boiling it. It's not. You know, that's a little bit of, that's more like roasting and baking than boiling. So therefore, they're saying.
But matzah brei would have the status of mechubar ayedei devash or marak.
What about?
I mean, like matzah brei, just like it's a lot of matzah stuck together with all these different things that are in there.
Okay.
So, like a lot of dafka, it doesn't even have to be bishul; it'll still be good anyway.
No. Guys, don't the matzah brei will be hamotzi unless you call this bishul, because matzah brei, it looks like matzah. It's going to look like matzah. So then the question is, why doesn't that become hamotzi? Because if it's boiled, it doesn't matter if it looks like matzah anymore. It only matters if it's a kezias.
So you might like the same recipe. I don't know. Mine doesn't look like matzah.
It definitely looks like matzah. It doesn't. What does it look like?
I don't know. And then it's the last step to it.
It's still...
Matzah
meal,
or you use like
matzah? Matzah pieces.
I'm not even sure what
you use. So if you're using matzah, use pieces of matzah. It's going to look... It definitely looks like matzah. I'm saying it doesn't lose its complete resemblance to matzah, or whatever. Let's assume most matzah brei look like matzah. So then you have a suffix, because if the pieces are too small and it was fried, so you know, now you're stuck. So it's best to, what the best thing is to do is, if you're having matzah brei, leave a big piece that's more than a kezias, and then you'll be able to wash on that for sure. Okay. What about French toast? So French toast is also the same shaila as matzah brei. So French toast, you're mixing in some eggs and some whatever else. But usually French toast, the pieces are kezias, so you have nothing to worry about. No matter whether you hold that frying is boiling, or you hold that frying is baking, your pieces are always going to be a kezias. It only becomes a shaila if the pieces of French toast are less than a kezias each, if it's like little cubes of French toast. So then you have that same shaila again. So you should really wash on something else. Or leave one piece of French toast that's more than a kezias.
How much of a French toast would be a kezias? Like a piece of bread? Like half a piece of bread?
Probably less than that, but I don't know. Look in Rabbi Bodner's book for the official amounts. But
I was thinking like from the middle of the half of a piece of bread from the middle of the leaf.
Okay, that's I couldn't say. I don't know the official... You know, I didn't do any experiments to see, but Rabbi Bodner did all the experiments. You know, so you can check his book. You ever seen the book? Very useful book. It's a small, probably a 50-60 page book with life size pictures of every food. What constitutes a kezias? So it's very user friendly. So okay. So that's the French toast and matzah brei shaila. If the pieces are kazayas, definitely amotzi. If the pieces are less than a kazayas, you're in a little bit of trouble since it's fried, not deep fried, or since it, you know, so that's a machlok to the Mogen Avram and the rest of the Achronim. So therefore, you should try to avoid that or leave one piece, which is going to be. Now, what about challah kugels and stuff like that? So challah kugels are case number two. You took the pieces of challah, you soaked them, or you didn't boil them. You added some batter, and then you put them in a pan and you baked it. So that's going to be a case where any one of those pieces of challah is still a kezias, it's going to be hamotzi, or it looks like bread, it's going to be hamotzi. If neither of those two things are true, if the pieces are small, and it doesn't look anything like bread, then it's going to be a mizonos. And again, you could eat an entire meal of it, and you will not wash or bench. You will make a mizonos al mechia. Right, so that's important because you have to. Every challah kugel is different, and you have to look at them to actually see what their status is. Another example of that: there was a rumor, which is absolutely not true. I found out clearly. I did my own investigation that Moshe's cinnamon buns, Moshe the baker, the cinnamon buns. They haven't had them so frequently, but back in the day, not so long ago, they used to have them at least once a week. Were hot dog buns that he just doctored up. So that is a big problem. If they're doctored up hot dog buns, they're for sure going to be hamotzi for two reasons. Number one, they still look like bread. By the way, look like bread could also mean look like pasa baba kisnin. Saying it just looks like a dough that was baked, not something else, right? So they still look like bread. They're exactly the shape of a hot dog bun. And they're not boiled, they're baked. So they're kazayas. And they look like bread. It is absolutely not true. They are baked from scratch. So there's nothing to worry about unless you are like many and you decide to eat an entire meal of those cinnamon buns because they happen to be delicious.
You don't get enough time in the morning anyway.
What?
You don't get enough time in the morning.
Jason. No, they're usually at lunch. So anyway, the cinnamon
eat
buns.
Lunch.
Eat by lunch? Here?
Yeah.
What meat?
I don't
like
food on Shabbos.
No, the cinnamon buns during the week.
Oh.
Anyway, whatever. Bottom line is, cinnamon buns, if they would have started as bread, then they're not going to lose their status as bread so easily. Right? So if you have this is a case with some of these challahs with, you put icing on top, or you put sugar and cinnamon on top of the challah, there's really very little you can do to make that not be a challah anymore. If all the cases of pasa baba kisnin are when the ingredients are baked into the bread itself.
So by like bread with like chocolate chips, are they usually baked together?
Yeah, so the bread with chocolate chips, they're baked together.
Is that enough to be pasa baba kisnin? That's like scattered.
It's too hard for me to say. I can't answer that question. What I would say is that according to the Mishnah Berurah, it's not a problem anyway if you want to make hamotzi on those on Shabbos, because you're being koveya suda on them the same way you'd be koveya suda on a regular pas. And therefore you're okay.
I thought being koveya suda is contingent on how everyone else sees it.
Right, meaning what does the average Jew do on a Friday night? The average Jew makes hamotzi, cuts the challah, passes it around, and then they have a big meal. Some eat more challah, some eat less challah.
So
but
you have a choice in that. You should be forced to make hamotzi.
That's what I'm saying.
You mean optional.
That's what I'm saying. So if you're going to eat them for dessert, like it's the same thing as a mizonos roll, basically. If it's a piece of cake, so eat it for dessert as a piece of cake. Eat your chocolate chip challah for dessert. But if you're going to use it in the same exact way that everybody else uses challah, so then you're going to make hamotzi on it anyway, and you don't really have that problem.
Why would you use it differently than everybody else? Does it help? Because I decided to use it for dessert, should I change the status?
It's the opposite. The opposite of what you're saying. It's not that you chose to use it. You're assuming it's a piece of cake. So if you're koveya suda on a piece of cake, you still have to wash and bench. If you're not koveya suda on the cake, that's when... No, it's the opposite of what you're saying. It's if you chose to use cake the same way everybody else eats bread, then you have to wash and bench. It's not the opposite.
Oh, because you've used it. All right.
If you view the cake as bread and you eat it like everybody else eats bread, then you have to wash and bench. If you view it as cake, which it officially is, so then you can make a mizonos al mechia. So that's what I'm saying about the mizonos roll slash the sugar cinnamon challahs or whatever. So if you're just going to eat them for dessert, So then you don't have to wash and bench, assuming it's actually possible but kistin. But if it, so it's not the other way around.
It depends on the context of how you eat it.
Right. But it doesn't, meaning it's mizonos, and then if you're kovei sudan, it's going to be amotzi. Okay, so let's just go through one or two more cases. So what else we had? We did this French toast, we did the matzah brei, we did the challah kugels. Anything else? Yeah. So what about croutons, bread croutons, and pita chips? So those are cases like a little bit even less than number two. Those are almost number three type cases. You took a piece of bread and you basically did nothing to it. You didn't add batter. You didn't add batter. You didn't add whatever. You just, all you did was, what?
So that cooked in oil, though?
No, so the croutons that are deep fried are made from scratch. So that's different. But the croutons that are made from, the bread croutons, they just dice up the bread. So if they're baked for the purpose of being croutons, that's one thing. But like in camps and pizza shops and everything like that, they just took a piece of bread, which was supposed to be bread, they diced it up, they added a little spices to it, or the pizza chips, same thing, and then they put them in the oven and toasted them a little bit. So under those circumstances, you have to make a hamotzi on it, even if it's a small amount, right? Because that's like breadcrumbs. You took the bread, you ground it up into crumbs, and it's still hamotzi. It doesn't lose its status of bread. All right. Let's leave it up there for now.